Well, the folks from Merlin, the Merlin Project, they are here. By the way, I've been looking at one of their websites, timetracks.org, all evening long. They've got some remarkable things there, too. We're going to be back in a moment with Paul Gersio, George Hart, and we will get right into their time tracks, the Merlin Project. Updates next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. First, let me introduce Dr. George Hart. He is the Star Wars physicist specializing in the application of supercomputers to mathematical modeling of systems exhibiting extremely complex behavior. And back in 1992, he received the prestigious British Rank Prize for his work in laser technology, inventing the excimer laser. He's probably the reason I got my LASIK eye surgery years ago. Hey, George, welcome back.
Good to be here, and glad the LASIK worked out for you.
It did. 2015 still. All these years.
Excellent.
That's pretty good, huh? And then, of course, Paul Gersio, nationally respected futurist, longtime student of traditional and esoteric predictive systems, his 25-plus years of research into the various sciences and subsequent collaboration with Dr. George Hart directly resulted in the creation of the Merlin Project, which Paul will explain here in a moment. His clients include many prominent business people, politicians, celebrities. It is probably one of the most scientific yet important tools of predictions I've ever seen. Paul, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Good to talk to you, George. I have to update that script. Do you know that it's been over 40 years now?
Whoa! we're all aging each other here.
Oh, it's terrible. I'll tell you, this getting old really stinks.
I love it. Paul, lots of new people to the program. Explain the Project Merlin for me.
Well, I was a student of predictive systems, astrology, numerology, the tarot. Okay, I spent years in the late 60s and early 70s looking into some of these things. And I concluded after probably a dozen years or so of doing that, that they all had a common thread. And the common thread was time. They all had kind of come to the same conclusion about the way time works. And what they had noticed was that things came along, events, repeating events, in intervals of time that were uniquely measurable and easy to keep track of, basically. They were 7 years or a little tad over that, 7 1/4 maybe, about 21, about 42, all increments of seven. It's where we get the seven lean years and seven fat years in the Bible. It's been noticed from time immemorial. And I concluded that that wasn't accidental, that all of these civilizations didn't sort of invent this stuff, that they had all tripped over it. And they found their own way of attributing. So, you know, the American Indian, for instance, the Native American, may have attributed it to the appearance of the white buffalo, and the Egyptians and the Sumerians attributed to the movement of planets, which they didn't know were planets at the time. But the planets in our solar system keep very good track of some of these time intervals. And whether they cause them or not is quite another matter. I'm not suggesting that. That's astrology. But what we have noticed is that these particular increments of time give us an extraordinary ability to predict things. And so I had come up with a kind of manual system of doing that, and I was doing a radio show in Boston in the late 80s on Halloween night with a with a fellow I had done shows with many times, David Brudnoy. And George, who was a regular listener of Brudnoy's shows, but somehow in the 20 years or so had been doing shows with David, George had never heard me before, and he heard that show. And he called me afterwards, ostensibly to come in and do an appointment, a consultation, see what it was I was up to. And I was a little bit put off because all of the scientist types I had run across prior to that were basically out to kind of, you know, ring my chimes.
Yeah, and they just didn't get it, did they?
No, well, they didn't want to get it.
Yeah.
They, you know, how could there be anything to any of this stuff, especially from some guy who's not essentially a scientist? But one of the things that George noticed in our first meeting and then subsequent meetings is that I was a very, very good observer of the elements in all of these systems, these mathematical and mystical systems, that when you broke them down to their elements, they actually worked. And after about half a year of conversations, I remember him leaving a phone message on my answering machine. He said, you know, I have a bunch of SDI guys with time on their hands, because Reagan had just left office, and I think we could spin up a program based on this if you could give me the parameters.
Huh.
So he showed up one night, happened to be 4th of July in 89. We sat down in about 2 hours at my kitchen table. We laid this all out. And then George left, and he turned it over to this team of people he had and a bunch of supercomputers, and inside of about 90 days, they had a crude version of this. And by probably another month or two, they had a much more sophisticated version of it. We set it loose on the founding dates of all of the Soviet satellites, this is Estonia, Lithuania, and, you know, so on. And what we found is that this thing produced a graphic that was just extraordinary of mountain ranges of activity about to happen.
How did you pick, or why did you pick those satellites?
Because why did I pick which?
Those Soviet
because there was rumblings in Poland. Lech Walesa was, you know, in the shipyard, was busy gathering together people against the government there. It just had a funny feeling
okay,
to it.
Okay.
And so those dates are all available. They're like our 4th of July in 1776. So I looked them up and turned them over to George, and he ran them. And I clearly remember collecting some of these time tracks from behind his screen door one morning, and there was a little yellow post-it on it, and he said, you know, if you like China, you're going to love East Germany. Okay. And so before the Berlin Wall came down, before the Soviet Union started to break up, we could see that either the end of communism was around the corner, or we were looking at World War III,
right,
or the thing really didn't work, and it was just, you know, pulling our chimes, essentially.
At that point, Paul, you know that something's going to happen, you just don't know what, right?
And we knew it was going to be big.
Right.
We knew it was going to, and we knew how long it was going to last, about 3 to 5 years, and we knew exactly where in time it was going to occur, and as far as what it was going to cause, we had no idea. But we did know that it was around the corner, and we were the only people on the planet probably who knew that in advance of it happening. Who could have predicted that the Soviet Union was going to go out of business in a 3 to 5 year span with no upfront warning?
Right. And no war. They just crumbled away.
That's it. And what's interesting is that we're 22 years, 23 years down the road from that event, and the Soviet Union is reappearing.
Uh-oh.
Okay. We're seeing elements with Putin of the old Soviet Union again.
It's coming back.
And right on schedule, exactly on one of those timelines that we had originally developed back in 89 and 90.
Now, is this for all of those countries or just a few of them?
Well, we're seeing it with the Ukraine. I don't know that you could predict that it was going to happen completely all over again, but even if it happens in dribs and drabs, that's a problem for us. And what's interesting about it is that it's right on schedule. It's exactly what we would have expected, and here it is.
All right, let's get George into the conversation here. So, George, again, though, the big thing is because I've talked to you and Paul over all these years, is you know something's going to happen. You know how long it's going to last. But what you don't know, for example, of an individual, whether he's going to have a booming career or maybe he's going to die, whatever you know, something dramatic's going to happen to this person. Have you been able to, over these years, kind of honed in even more with the program to try to ascertain what might happen, what this is, as opposed to we know it's going to happen, We just don't know what.
George, we'll have several of those examples tonight, and there's two ways you can answer the important question you just raised. One is the process we call triangulation, where you run the TimeTracks program, the TimeTracks app, on many of the key players surrounding a situation. And if you start seeing the same amount of strong intensity at the same time, there's a story, there's a scenario, a narrative, you can start constructing around that. So if all the people in a presidential administration all had their time tracks going insane with activity at about the same time, that tells its own story once you think about current news events and look at what that probably means. Another thing, though,
George.
Excuse me?
I said it, and it helps to be a good news junkie.
Oh, yeah,
yes, and
sure
and
does.
In that regard, the second approach that we talk about tonight regarding smartphones or perhaps the actor Tom Cruise is that the time track may send a very, very strong signal and force you to sit back and say, there may be something in this situation I'm overlooking. Let me roll back and take a look at the big picture and think about the implications of, say, like, where smartphones are right now and where they might be going. In either case, it opens your eyes to possibilities you might not otherwise consider. And the third example would be the United States right now, whose time track is through the roof. And we're seeing something that may be an impact as important as the American Revolution or the Civil War shaping up.
Wow.
It doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to figure out what that might mean.
Incidentally, George, if your listeners and you, because I'm sure you've got a laptop or something right there, if you go to the homepage for Coast to Coast and in the little search engine slot, you type in time tracks, it will bring up a set of pages. The first item on that list is a run of time tracks we provided to Sean a year ago. A little over a year ago, and they're all still there. And one of them is the U.S. run for the current period of time. It's the second from the last on the list. And anybody that has a computer could go to the Coast to Coast site, bring up that set of time tracks, and some of which we're going to be talking tonight because Hillary's on there and some of the presidents.
Right, and you spell time tracks without the C, right?
Yeah, it's TimeTracks. No C, but with an S. And that, by the way, is also our handle on Twitter.
Okay, good. And you've got the apps up and running now, Paul?
How do you mean?
Do you have the Project Merlin apps? I think you were working on that a couple of years ago, weren't you?
I'm not sure I'm following.
Apps for the smartphone.
Oh, George, you want to get into that? Do we ever?
Yes, George. We have it both for the iPhone and Android. People for the princely sum of 99 cents can jump on the App Store tonight or the Android Play Store.
The Google Store.
And fire these things up for themselves and look at things like Tom Cruise, look at the Roswell event, use the magic date of July 4th, 1989, which is the same time tracks run as July 4th, 1776, and see for themselves what these things look like. Hopefully during the show we can talk a bit about Roswell. If there's any time since 1947 when the stopper may pop out of that bottle, it will be this year or the next two.
It's coming close. Paul, when you run these time tracks on individuals or events, and you see these massive spikes over a series of years, and then nothing. I mean, because I've looked at your Barack Obama, Joe Biden one.
Right.
In another year or two, there's nothing there.
Well, it starts to be nothing there right about now. And if you recall back before the election, the last election, we said that the wheels were going to come off this administration about a year and a half into the second term, if he got a second term. Well, that's where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the time track you're talking about, I know the one you're talking about, It's a composite of Biden and Obama.
Right.
Yes, it's at about a year and a half or thereabouts into what would be the second term. And remember, we didn't know there was going to be a second
That's
term
right.
when we did this. We said, boy, this could really be a problem. And when you mix that together, and here's what George was talking about, with the USA run, which is on that list of time tracks I just told your listeners how to find on your site, which was posted a while ago, you can see why that's showing up on Obama Biden and the U.S. run going nuts, okay, with all of the problems that we have going on financially, politically, you know, I mean, the fires that are coming on board in the Middle East, okay, with Putin. I mean, you could go on and on. It's no wonder things are at a crisis stage everywhere you look.
How does Merlin know when to put those spikes in?
Well,
or is that proprietary?
Well, it sort of. What happened was when I came to a conclusion about these time intervals that were the meaningful ones, I built up a model of a clock that would include all of those cycles and figure out where each of them would be at the time you or me or some event occurred, when we arrived, when your job changed last or whatever it was, where they were at that point, and then we would run them forward according to the various intervals of the various time cycles we were watching. Now, the problem was that it was very difficult to do that manually, which is what I was doing. When George came along, he immediately recognized, oh, well, we could computerize this. Okay, it's like building a clock and trying to figure out when the maximum number of these time cycles are going to cuckoo at the same time. That's basically what this was all about. And where George's expertise came in is that, and I explained this to Larry King one night, I said, you know, George, if you had a room full of ping pong balls sitting on mouse traps, and you tossed the ping pong ball into that room, within a few seconds, you'd have ping pong balls flying everywhere. But what George is capable of doing is building a model so that he could tell you how many were in flight at any given moment, when the maximum dynamic was going to be of the maximum number of them in the air at the same time, and how long the entire effect would last. That was his expertise. That's why they were using him for Star Wars, because you'd want to be able to pick out the real warheads from all of the bogeys that are out there. So that's what George brought to the table. I brought the math of the model of the intervals. He came along and with his team brought the computer ability to keep track of all of these things and figure out when they were going to maximize. And that's where the peaks and the valleys of the time tracks come
from.
Well,
you did that time track for me, Paul, years ago.
Yeah.
And it was spot
on. And you know what? I was trying to remember as we started the show that you're the 4th or 6th of June?
Yep, June 4th.
Okay. Well, guess what? It's going to get very interesting over the next 2 years, more interesting maybe than it's been, but certainly as interesting, and it'll be as dramatic as taking over this show was back in 2003.
I love it. I love it. Okay. See, I like to believe
the
spikes are a good
thing. CBS wants to talk to you about us. Okay, so when you get around to it, they would love to talk to you and find out, because you are the expert in the country about what we do. You've been watching this, and not only that, I've turned over time tracks to you, sometimes 30 or 40 of them, and you've gone through them and said, let me see if I can tell you what this looks like.
I remember one night before a show, you sent me about 25 time tracks.
That's right. Faxed them
yeah,
to you. That's
and,
right.
And I had to go through them all.
And you were right about 8 times out of 10 in terms of the way you interpreted it, because you've seen enough of them.
Yes, you've taught me how to read them. We'll be back in a moment. Paul Gersio, George Hart, as we talk about Project Merlin and his time tracks. Well, Webmaster Lex has posted a link on our Twitter feed of those time tracks for you as well. Make it easier for you to get to them. They are remarkable. I'm telling you, I've looked at them for years. I've studied them. I've learned how to read them, as Paul was saying. And it's uncanny. It truly is. We'll be back in a moment with Paul Gersio and George Hart as we talk more about their time tracks with the Project Merlin. And what do these time tracks mean? What could happen? As they say right now, we're in a condition red in this country. What does that mean? We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Paul Gersio, George Hart with us. Paul and George, you are saying right now that we're in a condition red. What does that mean?
Here you go, George.
If you look at the time tracks for the United States, and again, I'd suggest listeners try July 4th, 1989, to be equivalent to July 4th, 1776, you see an enormous mountain range of very high activity in the time tracks. You know, going back 3, 5, 10 years, you could have done this run and seen that this was a period of either great accomplishment and great leaps forward for the United States, or perhaps the threat of total disintegration. And over the last 5 to 10 years, we've had a degree of polarization in the United States, which is approaching Civil War levels. And we see real threats to our system of governance, where we now have a president who talks about essentially ruling with a stroke of the pen or a phone call, which in many ways is reminiscent of King George in the 1770s. And we have an economy that seems to be stuck in first or second gear, where returning young veterans have a 30% unemployment rate. You know, young people in the country between 20 and 30 years old have an unemployment rate approaching 40%. The view of the right and the left in this country has gone from rage in 2010 in the early Tea Party days to angry, irreconcilable differences over the last couple of years. And now we have quiet, complete disgust and distance erupting over things like the treatment of veterans in the VA system, this mess with the southern border with Mexico. The Achilles heel of the United States from the beginning, and we had a civil war over this, was holding the whole thing together. We were not one culture like Norway or Sweden. We always had to try to live up to the model of e pluribus unum, out of many, one. And we've now had political parties and in the current day, a president who just basically doesn't give a damn about that. Well, you do that at high peril, this whole thing could disintegrate either quietly or heatedly. And we're clearly banging hard up against the guardrails there. And you combine that with the time tracks run for the Obama administration, and it's not a pretty picture. Paul, is there anything you want to add to that?
Well, I just want to remind the larger number of listeners that who aren't on Twitter and don't have and haven't gotten the app yet.
That's right. Steer them through our website.
Okay. Yeah. If they go to the Coast to Coast homepage, they find the search engine, the little panel that says search. Just type in the word time tracks. TimeTracks. You will get a listing of previous appearances where we provided Sean or Lex with time tracks, and the most recent one was in April of 2013. If they click on that, they will get a list of time tracks that are PDFs. They can click on those and look at these things. The U.S. is down at the bottom of that list. It's one up from the bottom. And believe me, if you look at that page, you'll see what we're talking about. You wouldn't have to know anything about these or anything about how to interpret them, but you'd say to somebody, what is this? Okay, and the bottom line, there's 3 6-year runs on each page. The bottom 6 years, which covers the period from about 2014 on through, I think it's 2022 or something like that. I don't have it in front of me, but anyway, you'll notice that it is unlike the other 2 6-year strips by an enormous amount. And we thought the big deal originally was going to be this end of the Mayan calendar stuff. which we concluded was going to end up, you know, about as important as Y2K was. But when we ran the USA run, which emanated, by the way, from the 4th of July in 1989, that's when we cooked this up, okay? And the U.S. run now is as dramatic as anything I've ever seen, certainly as dramatic as the Soviet Union runs were in the late 80s and early 90s when we first looked at these things. It's clear that we have maybe the equivalent of a civil war without the body count.
Right. And what's so important, Paul and George, is once you understand how to read the time tracks, if you have a strong basis of news and you understand what's happening worldwide, you can make better predictions on those time tracks.
Absolutely.
In that regard, George, you know, listeners to your show on a regular basis have heard, you know, many experts and commentators discussing with you just the situation the United States has gotten into.
Yes.
And my phrase in all of this is it's way beyond politics. We're dealing with matters of survival here.
Paul, can you do a run on silver for me? I think it's going to explode. I just don't know when.
All right, now, here's a perfect break-off point. If you had this app on your smartphone, not only could you see what I told you about your career in the next couple of years, but you could run that yourself. What you would need is some critical dates with respect to silver, either trading dates or high points or low points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with gold, we could go back to when we were taken off the gold standard back in 71 or 72.
By Nixon, yeah.
Yeah, by Nixon. And use that as a key run. With silver, I'm not exactly sure which one I would use. I'd probably play with a few of them until I found one that actually measured up to what I was looking for. But there's a perfect example. You're saying, well, gee, what would silver do? I own some, okay? You could run that right now in your hand and tell me what it says.
Yeah, I love it. And again, if you know news, the spike becomes a little easier to understand. Because
right.
If you don't know what's going on news-wise, you'll see the spike and you'll go, oh, something's going to happen. It could go up, it could go down.
Right, and there's also something else. You can run these things backwards, because in your case, we'd be running it from your birth year, and see how closely it matches the transition points in your life that were the important ones.
Exactly, for accuracy purposes.
Exactly, and so people say, oh, this is a bunch of nonsense. This is just a numbers game. Oh, yeah? Well, run the time track and run it back to the years that you know were the big ones,
yep.
And watch what the time track does.
George, you mentioned Roswell. Go ahead and elaborate on that for a moment.
What you can use as a start date there is July 8th, talk about the anniversary this week, 1947, when the first press release was came out from the Air Force and was printed up locally in the Roswell and Alamogordo area. You could say, well, maybe that isn't exactly when the crash occurred, but if you think about it, the press release is actually the interesting thing here. When did the information go public? If you run that July 8th, 1947 date, you will see an enormous mountain range of activity on the time track, larger than anything that's happened since 1947. And so the message here is that if we are going to have a disclosure experience this year or next year, or as the latest, 2016, is when it's going to happen. And if you think about it, there are a lot of reasons why it might come here. If there are any direct participants at that time, they'd be of an age deep into their 80s, where if they were going to get it off their chest, they better get it now, otherwise they'll be talking to God about it.
I love it.
And on your show, George, you've covered for years the many aspects of the Disclosure Project. Talk about the great way to remove the public's attention from the shortcomings of the Obama administration, letting that news out, whether it was from the United States government or perhaps the Vatican, would be a history-changing event. And the Merlin time track says it could be right around the corner here.
Paul, like you were talking about going back into the tracks, if you were to do that, let's say for the United States, would you have seen these spikes during World War II, Vietnam, World War One?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was just thinking of that because I was going to jump in, but it didn't seem to be appropriate. When George was just talking about seeing things, knowing when in the future that uptick is going to happen, that's how we found 9/11 back in 1995, and when we submitted papers to the Joint Chiefs of Staff who had contacted us.
But again, okay?
No
idea what it was.
No, but 40 copies of the report we submitted to them that indicated there was going to be a big uptick in domestic terrorism at the beginning of this century, probably about a year into it. 40 copies of that were in file drawers in the building that the plane hit.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And we used, inadvertently, actually, the World Trade Center bombing of 93 as our time model when we created that report. And it didn't occur to us that there was an earlier incident that would qualify as terrorism coming from the outside, but perpetrated in the United States, and that was Pearl Harbor. And we went back and ran Pearl Harbor, and Pearl Harbor found 9/11.
That's fantastic. I mean, you two are really on to something big, I think.
We know that.
George, I was going to say, oftentimes when you ask very interesting questions that the time tracks give an answer to. On this question of the United States and the Second World War, if you run it, there are indications that was going to be a time of important activity. But more interestingly, where the time track really sails upwards is during 1946 through the early 1950s. And if you think about it, those were the years when the United States achieved global dominance.
Yes.
We were important up until the Second World War, but in the 1950s, we became the United States as we've known it most of our lives. And time tracks would have nailed that. Now, what it's saying is a similar shift may be about to occur, but it might not be in an upwards direction.
Right. Good point. I bet it tracked 63 when Kennedy got assassinated.
It might show something else. I don't know that this is true because I didn't look at it for this reason. But if I wanted to find another assassination that would be equivalently unsettling, I might run the Kennedy assassination, and I might very well find Bobby and Martin Luther King.
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. As a matter of fact, when you run Martin Luther King right now, you see the turbulence of what's been going on and the possibility of a Afro-American president.
If you run
the assassination date for Martin Luther King, and I've already done this, so I know. If you run it, which is April 4th, 1968, I believe that's right, because it was a month or two before Bobby got shot. You run those, and you find stuff like this, and sometimes you look at it when you find it, and it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, what does this mean? Now, you ran time tracks for smartphones. What's that all about?
George has got a great story on that, and he's absolutely right. George?
George Norrie, the announcement date of the smartphone was January 9th, 2007, so one of Paul's particularly important periods, 7 years, has elapsed here. And even though the smartphone now has a penetration in the market of about 70% in the United States, if you do a time track run with that start date of January 9th, 2007, you see a tremendous burst of activity starting around now and continuing for several years. And if you sit back and ask the question, well, what could that be? It already seems like iPhones and Androids are roaring. I think a good analogy to think about would be the introduction of the Model T automobile.
Mm-hmm.
where, yes, it was an initial success, but it wasn't just about the automobile. It didn't go from doing 40 miles an hour to 400 miles an hour. It's the fact that it completely transformed society, where first we got paved roads and then highways and then superhighways in the interstate highway system. But it wasn't just highways.
It changed America.
It brought us suburbs and drive-in restaurants and drive-in
shopping centers, everything.
Right. The whole culture, the American culture of the automobile, if you look at the time track run, and I said this earlier on this show, it opens your eyes to the bigger picture that's going on. I think we're still in the infancy of the impact of the smartphone, which in our hand will be a communication device, a computation device, a camera, but also our link to unimaginable computing power in the background, so that very shortly we'll probably be able to speak to these things, ask them very complicated questions and get answers to them, or have actions taken. Already with these things, you can close your garage door even though you're many miles away. If you remember, I didn't shut it and it's starting to rain. But more importantly, there'll probably be all kinds of biosensors in our bodies, turning us, each of us, into the bionic man or woman that will communicate to medical centers through this device.
No chips for me, but you're right. That's
going to happen. George also pointed something out to me, and I hadn't even thought about this. We already have a Supreme Court decision involving this phone and involving privacy and the fact that they recognize the fact that our lives are now on that phone.
That's right. You better have a warrant for it. You can't just look at it if you're a police officer. And
so 7 years after Steve Jobs waved this little device on the stage, you have a major Supreme Court decision. And the other thing that decision tells you about, when you usually thought about warrants, like your automobile, your home, it was the question of material, matter that might be there that could serve as evidence against you. Now we're in an information age, and what's important is all that information that's on that device that might cause you legal problems. It's a remarkable Supreme Court decision in terms of how short a period of time the device has been around.
So will the tracks tell you that we can expect more dramatic things because of the smartphone?
We're entering an era where this will have an impact on us equivalent to the automobile or the television. We're already seeing anxiety and neurotic disorders being treated either by psychiatrists or psychologists or rehab centers.
We've made a new business for the psychiatrist.
Absolutely. Yes.
It will probably be its own DSM entry. And so you really have to think about television or the automobile or airline travel in its scope. We've only seen the beginning of the impact of this on our lives.
We're coming out with the selfie syndrome now because of smartphones, right? People taking pictures of themselves. It's become an epidemic.
And all the people who are dying because of it.
That's a good point, too. I mean, I'll always remember
26% of auto crashes involve smartphones.
Sending a text or something like that. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Or even simply speaking, apparently, collapses attention to the visual data you're getting.
Well, they've outlawed it here in California. They don't let you talk on your phone and drive at the same time. Yet I see people doing it, weaving and swerving. It is dangerous.
Well, it's just an uptick from putting on your makeup while you're driving.
That has happened too. Well, we're going to take this break. We're going to come back. We're going to take some phone calls. But you also ran some time tracks about Iraq, Tom Cruise, what's in store for him, and some other things. Get up to our website. Look at theirs, projectmerlin.com, timetracks.org. And like they mentioned, they now have apps for Project Merlin. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.